Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Thursday morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber along with Jim Cramer. Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures. We're getting ready, of course, a half hour from now to begin trading on this Thursday. And our roadmap does start with stocks because they are searching for direction after what's been a two-day sell-off. We're going to talk to Jim. And apparently it says here you think stocks are poised to bottom and rally soon.
Well, I'm calling for the...
All right. Well, I got to finish the rundown.
Well, no, I'm just calling for a broader market and less of the FANG. And I was Mr. FANG.
We're going to also keep an eye on big oil. Shell says it's taking up to a $5 billion hit for leaving Russia. Department. Exxon and Chevron telling Congress, by the way, that they are not capitalizing on the crisis by raising prices at the pump more than perhaps is warranted. And Buffett backs HP. Berkshire Hathaway reveals a major stake in the computer and printer maker.
Don't laugh. That's the state. That's part of my bullish thesis.
That was in there. Revealing. The point is the shares are up.
In what? I thought you just, it comes right out of your head.
Well, that's the only thing we read. Point out. Right. That's it. We're done with the reading. Now it's just who knows what's going to happen. But let's start off with the markets. After 2 days. Yesterday, you did say you were conservative.
At one point,
you said you were very conservative.
Well, because I think
read there that you're...
No. I'm very conservative.
Markets are poised to bottom and rally
very
soon.
Conservative on big tech. I am. Big tech is where we've all been clustered for years and years. And one of the reasons why I've been clustered in that is because a lot of companies have been buffeted either by recession or weak consumer or COVID. And these skated. They skated because they do not have inflationary pressure.
But why wouldn't an Alphabet continue to skate? When you say big tech,
Alphabet
define your terms.
And Meta are the two cheapest big techs.
Okay.
But we sold some Amazon for our charitable trust. Because, first of all, the stock's done nothing, which is very telling. But it's not cheap. There are others that we feel we have to trim back. And the new things that we like are things that... I'll give you a great example.
Please.
Wells Fargo.
Okay.
Now, if they have one oligarch, it would be a shock to me. Not one oligarch. But they do have a huge base. And if the Fed is to be taken at face value... Why shouldn't you buy that stock? It's one of our largest positions for the trust. That's the kind of thing, a broadening out,
right,
but a very conservative attitude toward the stocks that have gotten us to where we are.
When it comes to Wells, obviously, it had a very good year last year. Significant rebound after underperforming for many years, given all of the different difficulties, to put it nicely for them, that they went through.
It was 62 in February of 2018.
Right, okay.
So it's down a lot. It has the capability of adding a lot more dividend. Charlie Scharf, a tough banker, has replaced everybody, and I expect excellent quarters.
You do.
Excellent.
I remember from back in the days when it was a leader, and it was a big Buffett-owned stock,
right,
of course.
Buffett.
We used to talk about the housing market a lot because they were a very large underwriter of mortgages.
Right.
Now we got mortgage rates above 30 or above 5%. I don't know if that hurts the business at all.
I think that's a great question. I think that they're a great servicer. I checked with, now this is a hard one for me. I checked with the major home builders yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are seeing any weakness, which is surprising given rates. It's the highest end. It's the 2 million to 5 million where there's weakness. And the home builders don't put those homes up. There's still a tremendous shortage. Now, David, I want to go back to something that you say we have not talked about enough, but is just unbelievable. Working from home.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with Corey Barry today, the CEO of Best Buy.
Yep.
So when the pandemic started, people just did this kind of ad hoc, basically kind of what I would say, jerry-built office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they realize, you know what? We're not going back. Let's build a real office. And that is what's happening. And you know it the cornerstone of the real office? HP.
It does get us there, which we wanted to talk a bit about later. But I'm glad you brought up work from home. I can, or the change in the way that people work, because I do believe when we look back on this 2-year period, we look back on the pandemic, which hopefully we will fairly soon. But even decades from now, the line will be there as one of the most significant outcomes was.
But people don't believe it.
A forever change in the way that people choose to work. People may not believe it, but you know we didn't really go into this in great detail. Diamond's letter early in the week, he spent a lot of time talking about and basically saying it's true.
Totally ignored by people
that
he said.
We are now going to be working differently. And by the way, this is a company, JP Morgan, that is building a magnificent new tower on Park Avenue and 49th Street. They took down good old 270 and they're putting something up. And they're going to have a lot of employees there. But he said, generally speaking, many employees, approximately 50%, will necessarily work at a location full-time.
Well, look, you were in an office recently.
50%.
You showed me pictures.
50%.
And there was nobody there.
Some 40% will work under a hybrid model, and about 10% will work from home. But he is basically thrown in the towel completely on the idea.
10% work from home entirely. Don't go in an office.
And yes, I showed you video of an entirely empty floor that I have an office on.
But David, I would say that at a certain point, if that's the case, then you really do shrink your footprint.
Yes, and he did say that remote work will change how we manage our real estate.
But why is he talking about it?
We will quickly move to a more open seating arrangement in which digital tools will help manage seating arrangements. And as a result, for every 100 employees, we may need seats for about 60 to 75 on average.
And the office is only going to be, as Steve Squeri said to me, the CEO of American Express, it will be only purpose-built when you go into the office. In other words, there has to be a specific reason. It's just not by rote. Now, there's some analysts today who are coming out and saying, sell Home Depot, sell Lowe's, because the bubble's about to burst on the work from home. How could the bubble about to burst when it just started?
No, it's a seminal change in the way people work.
But why don't people talk about it?
Employees want flexibility. Well, we do talk about it. We sat here, the dinosaurs that we are, talking about how we believe people should be back in the office.
Speak for yourself.
We talked about it for year one. We talked about it year two. But here we are more than 2 years since many people left the office. And while certainly there are certain days when you can see more traffic and Midtown is busier here, which is a way to judge it, it's nothing like what it once was, and it probably never will be. The other problem is you have people who want to go to the office, then they go there and they're alone. So what's the point?
Well, look, I think that it's a major change, and a lot of people feel that it's some sort of like short-term thing. I think the opposite, and it's very bullish. Because you need a lot more of everything.
And we'll talk about the HP position, Buffett, because that may have something to do
oblivious.
With it. But I do want to move on to the consumer, because yesterday you and I were having the discussion about, you know, Fed tightening, hard landing, worries about the consumer as well, inflation, obviously. We've had a number of things this morning that point to a pretty strong consumer.
Yeah, that's
you have some sound, I think, from Best Buy.
I think that's
what
a handle on it.
Levi Strauss.
What, that's
during
surprisingly
their conference
good.
Call. Chip Berg saying some things. In fact, let's take a listen if we have that from the conference call. Chip Berg, in terms of the strength of the consumer, Levi Strauss.
I don't want to suggest that our head is in the sand. You know, we're reading the same headlines everybody else is and the same Jamie Dimon letter that everybody else is. We're watching it very, very carefully. But at this point, the consumer seems to be really strong, and our brand still represents a tremendous value.
And, Jim, you spoke to Corie Barry from Best Buy as well. You asked her about the consumer. I think why don't we just take a listen to that, too, because I think it sets up well for this conversation.
There's two things you could say about the consumer right now: uneven and unpredictable. So uneven means, yes, you have all those things, but you also still have, you have a very strong housing market and yet mortgage rates increasing rapidly. You do have still strong balance sheets, but you can also see interest rates probably rising and credit getting a little higher. You have geopolitical unrest. So you've got this consumer who's kind of got two sides of the teeter-totter at any given point, and you know better than anyone. Every day, that is changing for the consumer.
So Best Buy sells
by the way,
at 9 times earnings.
She's going to be on that Monday night.
Best Buy sells at 9 times earnings. Levi Strauss sells at 11 times earnings. This is what I'm talking about, Hal. There's room for tremendous multiple expansion in the non-high-flying techs. And yet the non-high-flying techs and the high-flying techs are where everybody's clustered. HP's not. HP's incredibly inexpensive stock.
Right. I'm seeing a note here as well. B of A this morning. Overall card spending on a three-year for the month of March, up 23.2%. Only down 40 basis points year over year. Decline heavily distorted by the stimulus, of course, that
right.
lapped a year ago in March. Key observations, lower income groups continue to lead the higher income group in spending.
Yes.
And that's ex-gas and ex-grocery.
Yes. And how about Frank Del Rio coming on Mad Money yesterday, and Norwegian Cruise, just adding ship after ship after ship. Why? Because, well, you know what? Demand. Demand a cruise. They got a cruise coming, a brand new ship in September. Davis sold out.
And finally, we got weekly jobless claims falling to 166,000 last week, the lowest level since 1968.
So we got some
I feel like
comments.
We have one conversation one day, Jim, and then we right. have a
well,
conversation the next day that's somewhat
tech was
180
Monday,
degrees.
Bad Tuesday, bad
yeah.
yesterday. I mean, and then, I mean, we've got Bullard saying even a generous feed of monetary policy rules show Fed funds rate around 3.5. Needed to fight inflation. Okay, so where's the 30-year 3.5?
Bullard says even a generous reading, right, a monetary policy rule show federal funds rate 3.5 needed to fight high inflation versus the current rate of 0.25.
I think that inflation is
so
going to break.
Bullard is basically saying even with financial market tightening, Fed remains behind
the
curve.
I think it's happening quicker than we realize. That's one of the things that I think. I mean, you got whipsawed yesterday because you had the minutes and they seemed to be contrary to what Brainard said. So did Brainard change your mind in 30 days?
Brainard scared a lot of
Brainard
people.
Brainard influenced me and Gary Friedman. Those
yeah,
are the two.
Brainard was always thought of as the dove, and that was not dovish.
That scared. Well, I hate to use the word scared. That was of concern. And Gary Friedman's legendary RH, Old Restoration Hardware, rant has got me concerned.
Well, refresh for people what the rant was that you were referring
to
from the CEO of
Restoration. Rich people are kind of, the global issues are worrying rich people. And you, when you look at it, I think, I mean, one of the things that I do want to bring in is that the EU countries have paid Russia $38 billion since the war began. They're on track, there's going to be $325 billion in exports by the Russians. That just makes it seem like it's not going to end. Now, RH is selling at a very low multiple for the first time since he took over. But if you listen to the conference call, it's posted, by the way, the letter to shareholders, you would say, I got to stay away.
I didn't realize that stock's been almost cut in half.
But that's what I'm saying. Do you want to short RH here? I'm more interested in buying it if Gary were to be a little more, I would say, reflective of the longer term. I think he was very caught up in the short term. A lot of people are caught in the short term. They can't see Putin pulling out. They can't see that a lot of what the Fed wants is being done right now. They can't see a collapse in rates and freights. They can't see collapse. There's been no collapse yet in plastic. Okay, no collapse yet in paperboard. I mean, you know, the fundament. But when you look at a General Mills, okay, versus Conagra. Conagra reported a bad number today. They're on tonight. General Mills stock is at 69. Spotty, how about Spotty? But I think overall, to use my friend Larry Kudlow's comments,
he works for another network. We can't quote him anymore.
Can't.
No.
Doesn't friendship.
Nope. Doesn't. Uh-uh.
Well,
nope.
Green shoes.
No, man. This is competition.
Are you telling me I can't mention him even though he's my friend?
Correct.
He was the former.
Correct.
Chief Economic Advisor.
I am saying he's banned.
To DWAC.
Banned. And
okay.
He's a gentleman. He's banned.
Expert.
Always a gentleman. Banned.
He's a gentleman.
Banned.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm caught. I like Steve Mnuchin, too. I mean, just...
He never worked for another
like
network. You can say his name.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't know it.
All right.
Okay,
let's talk a bit more about that HP position that Warren Buffett...
Yes!
Warren Buffett's Berkshire took on. We'll do that when we come back after this break.
Okay,
take a look
at that music?
What it means for the stock price, of course. We are going to get started with trading here about, 16 or so minutes from now. If you want, we can give you another look at futures as well. As we get ready to head to a very quick break. And you can see, unclear exactly where we're going to open, although no longer looking like an up open as it did not that long ago.
Well, because you talked the market down.
Oh, yeah, it's my fault, right.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
We just saw it. We'll show it to you again. Shares of Best Buy, shares of HP. We were talking about Best Buy just now, of course, given Corey Barry's going to be a guest on Mad Money. But that stock is up sharply because Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway revealing that it owns roughly 11% of the company. Of course, it's a PC maker, printers. Total value of that stake, about $4.2 billion. It's been a good performer. We've had, obviously, we have Enrique on with us. Many have had him on many times, including very recently. They announced that deal. What was that? Maybe it was just last week or two weeks ago.
He bought Polly.
Yeah, you know, bought Polly, the old, what was Polly's name before?
Oh, my God. It was just a peripheral company.
Yeah, it was the headset thing. I'll come up. Anyway,
okay, so look, this is what I'm talking about. The stock yields 3.
Yeah.
It sells at 8x earnings. It doesn't miss the quarter. It's bought back an endless amount of stock. Raises the dividend. This is right in Warren Buffett's wheelhouse. Plantronics.
You know, I do find myself Plantronics, thank you. HP buying Poly, which is the old Plantronics recently, to help them with the work from home, with
right.
all,
well,
you know.
Then that's why Corey Barry, the CEO of Best Buy, who we'll be on tonight, is saying, look, this ideal work at home. Ideal working up. Not at all surprised that Buffett would buy it because its products are so good.
Right. But it's not as though the enterprise is not unimportant for HP. It is, though.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But enterprise is strong. But what she's saying is, you know, look at the models. I mean, I have to upgrade because the new models are so great. But everybody's missing a point about this new model. It really helps you to have you need a big upgrade for everything. And that's why I think it was so smart to buy the Poly, the Plantronics. David, it sells at 8x. That's a bear market multiple.
It is. 8 years worth of earnings is
he came
not
on
much.
Enrique Lori, I met him for breakfast when he first took over from D.M. Weisler. And I said, he was like incredibly nice. I said, you got to be more forceful. He said, that's my style. I like to be a really kind person and deliver the numbers. I said, geez, that's... Well,
they've got to be happy with that. And obviously, the performance of the stock price over the last couple of years
speaks very well.
Now, again, a big beneficiary of the trend that we spent a lot of time discussing at the outset of the show, which is people are going to be working from home maybe forever now.
When it was at 15, he was buying back stock, doing it was just doing okay. And then one day he called me and he goes, look, what do you have at home? This is our time. Get a subscription printer. Get the really good PC, and don't forget, get the PC with a touch screen.
Yep.
I got it. I love it. I love it.
Meanwhile, Berkshire itself has actually been a good stock to own this year.
Oh, my.
Let's call it 15%.
How about great?
The meeting's coming up a few weeks away, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go out there with Andrew. Just kidding.
No, you're not. The meeting's coming up. You know, it's when these positions get revealed now, though, it's never completely clear to me if it's Warren or if it's somebody else.
Yes, that's true. And you've explained that. Now, David, okay, so explain to people at home, there's a man who is maybe the smartest of our time, and he buys 11% of a company. And then there's another man, the smartest of another year, maybe still good, buys 11% of a company. And we make a big to-do about the first man, Elon Musk, does it. And he does it, and the Fed stays. He said, that's screw you. I do whatever I want. Second guy, it's like, yeah, hallelujah. How can one person, Warren Buffett or his team, come up to 11, sneakily buying it when we're selling it? And then another guy does it, and suddenly we want to say, contempt of SEC. Explain it to people.
Well, no, again, we talked a lot about this yesterday. I don't want to devote too much time to it. But Mr. Musk's position in Twitter was clearly an active position, so to speak, one in which he was trying to get the company to accede to certain questions he had and or engage with them in discussions about their operations in a way that is not what typically Warren Buffett and his team would do, where they're taking passive stake. Obviously, the largest single ownership they have is Apple, which is one of their largest, $160 billion worth of Apple stock at Berkshire Hathaway. And by the way, been a great purchase for them. A guy who was not particularly interested in technology for quite some time,
but
did not make
kids.
A great investment in IBM and got out of it. But Apple has worked out big time for Berkshire.
Well, saved the performance to some degree. I mean, a lot of their stocks they have, just okay.
Yeah, just okay. Do they still own Wells? A good amount of Wells? I have
no,
to look.
They're out of Wells.
They're out, right?
Look, their insurance and pipelines, which are fantastic.
Yeah.
That was a great business. Insurance is a great business right now. And it's in bear market, and that's wrong. I mean, to me, you want a stock that you should like is Chubb, okay?
Oh, darn right you should. They raised my rates 15% a year.
Say 13 times.
Ever. Yeah, Greenberg raised my every year. It's like, oh, another 12%.
My stuff is right on the corner of his desk, he says.
I know, because you have 17 houses.
18,
sorry. Okay. Up next, we're going to have Jim's Mad Dash. We'll count you down to the opening bell. Let's give you one more look at futures as we do get ready for the start of trading for the day. We got a lot more Squawk on the Street for you straight ahead.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
There it is. What we used to call FANG, now we got to call it MANG. MANG?
That's good.
You endorse that?
I'm okay with it.
All right. Meta, of course, which has been down over 30% this year, does appear to at least be in store.
That's where the pressure is, except for I think it shouldn't be on Meta, which I think is having actually a good second half, and it shouldn't be on Alphabet because it sells at a very low multiple.
Right.
But
I like Mana. Yeah, Mana. Mana. Yeah, Mana.
Okay. All right.
Got an opening bell coming up. All right, let's get to a Mad Dash, and then we'll bring you the opening bell right after that. Conagra, a name that I wanted to get to, so I'm glad you're going to do it now.
Yeah, Conagra's just, they've got the raw cost problem. They are, I think, we'll speak to them tonight, but they're not able to pass on everything they'd like. Versus Constellation Brands, she's able to pass on everything. Modelo, Corona, Modelo Especial.
So what accounts for the inability of Conagra to pass along some of the increase, not pass along some of the increased costs, and Constellation, to the point you made, to be able to?
Well, I think that, I know that historically, people may not realize, but beer is very non-cyclical. People like to drink, right now people are drinking beer at home. It's a bargain versus the restaurant. But I want to make it clear that Constellation is different from the other beer companies. They've got actual growth. And the way you measure its depletion, that's the way you talk about depletion, is just off the charts, frankly, 9%. They advertise well. They also have beers that over-index among Hispanics, which is an incredible cohort to be levered to. And they've been kept back by the canopy growth position they had. They're very smart, and they have a beer that people like. They can't stop most of the beer. It's like up here. It's impossible.
And back to Conagra for a second. What's the takeaway from the numbers?
I really got to see him tonight because, okay. You know, we've got real differences. Campbell's hasn't been able to do it. General Mills has been fantastic. Smucker has been great. So it's very catch-as-catch-can. I keep hoping for Conagra to do it because they're such good guys, but it hasn't happened yet. Let's see how they're doing on what is very much what I describe as being ho-hum.
All right, let me tell everybody about the opening bell while you do that.
Hey,
you can take a look at the Real Exchange back at CNBC. Here's the big board, by the way. EMQQ Global celebrated the launch of the India Internet and E-commerce ETF over at the NASDAQ. It was Gogoro, a Taiwanese electric scooter company, which listed via
SPAC. They were both these. India is really on the red hot griddle about whether they're going to.
Yes. India has not gotten a lot of heat for.
No, they've not. And they're also a tremendous polluter.
Yeah.
Coal-based system.
Yes.
And have really gotten a free ride.
Yeah.
And, it's not us. This is not McLaughlin Group. Remember that one?
Yes.
We're not sitting here. We have no right. That's not our thing. But when I see an Indian stock, I'm reminded that there are issues that you need to think of if you get involved.
Yeah. Back to obviously the conflict, which we haven't talked about a lot in conflict in Ukraine, Russia's war in Ukraine. Shell taking a $5 billion potential write-down.
Yes, tell me about how that works, David, because
for any number of different activities it was undertaking in the country.
Okay, so they spent that money, and then where is that infrastructure?
It's there.
And whose is it now?
Russia's.
And who can they sell it to if they want to?
Nobody.
Can't they sell China half of it?
I think they're calling it non-current. There's some item they have in European accounting that they're now calling. We can't do much of anything with it. And so that is that's the write down. By the way, these companies are benefiting a great deal from the underlying price of the commodity, generating enormous amounts of cash flow right now. We'll get to that in a moment. But these are not insignificant write-downs. The biggest is going to be BP with the ownership of, was it Gazprom, right?
Yeah, and that stock's been the
We don't know what that number may be. It could be as much as $20 billion.
I would buy that stock.
You'd buy BP?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jesus, nowhere near where it can be. They're very, very poor communicators in the situation, 5x earnings. Now, the yield curve, the curve on oil is to go down, which is why when our government berates the oil companies for not producing more, they're looking at the curve and saying, if we start now, the possibility is oil's going to be less. I happen to be a big bull in the oil stocks because they've never been like they are. Even they're berated for doing exactly what they're doing, which is producing something and returning cash to shareholders. I think they're about 5% in the S&P. I think they go to 10% in the S&P, like the old days.
You think they're going to double in terms of their
like
overall
the
market
Why not?
Cap? Is-
what? $30 a barrel in the ground, selling it for a hundo.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
That works.
That's good. Do it in volume.
It works every time.
Yeah.
They're obviously getting some heat. You had what I call largely theatrical hearings yesterday.
Yes,
Darren Woods, Mike Wirth show up, and everybody's like, aren't you gouging?
Who do you think handled it best?
I don't know. I'll let our viewers decide. Do we have this? Can we take a listen to Representative Griffith asking both Woods and Wirth whether they're unduly benefiting from the rise in gasoline prices?
Mr. Woods, is your company taking advantage of the crisis in Ukraine to keep prices artificially high in order to increase your own profits?
Absolutely not.
Mr. Wirth, is your company taking advantage of the crisis in Ukraine to keep prices artificially high in order to increase your own profits?
No, we are not.
Clipped, short,
to the point,
well, David,
under oath.
The price? We acted, the Congress people, in your theatrical notion, they acted as if our companies create the price of oil.
No, as Darren Wood said, no single company sets the price of oil or gasoline. The market does. And that's based on supply and demand.
Demand. This is not a market like, there's some markets that are totally controlled. The aluminum market. Russia controls a lot of markets. We should have thought of that ahead of time. We had ample.
What were we supposed to think about ahead of time, Jim?
Well, we could have.
I mean, we were the ones who were telling everybody they were going to attack.
No, nobody. I mean, you could have stored. Some people managed to store things, and other people didn't store things. Don't you think it's interesting that Alcoa split up at the absolutely wrong time?
In terms of because aluminum prices.
Right, because they had new aluminum, so therefore they could have.
You know, we sporadically come back to this conflict. The impact on global commodity prices, where are you right now on that? What are you hearing, seeing, whether it's supply chain, whether it's scarcity of certain things? You keep pointing out what Russia and Ukraine, by the way, when it comes to food, certainly, what they produce.
But 30%, 30% of the world's calories comes from that area of what they produce. And they have to, you know, if the war goes on, then we're going to have problems with ag, which is why I've been recommending AgCo and Deere. That's got to come down, though, because the American consumer has already taken it with gasoline. We've got to have the supermarket stuff come down. But it's not set by us.
It's not.
And we don't need a drought, and we need soy. And unless everyone goes bad vegan.
You haven't gone vegan yet, have you?
Ever watched that one yet?
What? What's it called?
Bad Vegan.
Was that a show? He's laughing at me. Brian's laughing at me. What, watch it?
You are dope sick, you drop out.
He watches it.
You are going to crash, wee man.
Bad Vegan? What's that on?
How can you not? I don't know. It's one on my watch. How can you not watch Wee Crash when Jamie is so key?
How can I what?
Jamie's the star of Wee Crash. Jamie Dimon. Now, it's not really him. That's why.
Do you keep coming back to this?
Because a major CEO of the world's largest bank figures really prominently in episode 6. And he's great with the 1942. How did he know?
I haven't watched it yet.
He could have come in with her and Dora.
Did watch John Oliver take apart the trucking industry.
With Lior Ron, who runs the trucking industry.
Is man, those truckers. I mentioned that because Walmart, this is CNBC.com, I think this is our story, says it's going to raise truckers' pay, start a training program. Obviously, still a driver shortage, even though you've been talking about.
There is no driver shortage. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, it says that, right here.
Well, that's wrong.
There is.
That's just wrong, which is why I'm getting bullish on people, on companies that are buyers of things.
Oh, it wasn't us. It was another news organization.
What, another
that.
Buller when he says
that's
7%.
Why they're wrong.
Buller wants to stop at 7%.
We know there's no trucker shortage. All right.
The number of truckers is equal.
Let's move to some of the names that are moving this morning. The SoFi is down.
Anthony Noto's not catching on breaks, but someone sold a lot of stock.
He's not. They lowered their guidance. Obviously, there was an extension of the student loan moratorium, as expected. And the guidance now calls for adjusted net revenue of $1.47 billion. Previously, they were $1.57 billion. They've also significantly lowered their adjusted EBITDA targets, lowered them by $80 million to $100
million. I paid my student loan debt with credit cards from Banco Popular and Chase. So you're paying off 3%
with
17%.
Yeah.
Because I was a genius when I got out of Harvard.
Yes, you were.
I didn't go to Harvard to get stupid.
No. Banco Popular.
Banco Popular. They sent it to me. Not a lot of credit checks back then. FICO score, where's that versus what Upstart's doing? They replace FICO?
The SoFi hasn't performed particularly well. It was, but by the way, it was a SPAC.
It had a huge run, and then they did a gigantic secondary. And if you owned it and blew it out on the secondary, I think you'd say, wow, that was good.
Yes.
Now, if you're like me, I would say I want the names of the people who blew it out on the secondary, and what did they know?
What did they know?
Well, what did they know? Maybe they knew ahead of time. We've seen that happen, Mr. Archegos.
We still have questions about what people knew and when they knew it when it comes to Archegos.
Well, I think that's
still one of the more extraordinary things I've seen in a long time. It moves up. By the way, that discovery, it's going to close tomorrow, I think.
Can we talk managed care for a second?
A lot of people trying to figure out
Discovery, that's definitely what we're talking about. Discovery.
You want to talk about what? Managed care?
I was talking about how there's a note about Humana. The stock should be up 94 cents. It'll be up 10 today. Let's go over the Discovery because it's very hard to understand.
Okay. What do you want to understand?
Okay. So if I own AT&T and I'm a person who hasn't followed it.
Yep.
I suddenly get something.
You're getting a lot of
shares. And how would you describe that?
In fact, I know the numbers, but I don't have them in front of me.
How would you describe that?
And then the question will be, what do you do with it? Do you keep it, or is it a piece of paper, so to speak, that you really are no interest in owning
because
it's now Warner Discovery?
I need to know what John Malone thinks.
All right, I'll try and get John on the phone and tell you what he thinks. He thinks that the new company has great prospects, is what he thinks. He thinks it's going to be undervalued right now. He thinks that David Zaslav is going to be able to successfully execute on the vision that they have in terms of direct-to-consumer, both through Discovery Plus and HBO Max, and that these are undermanaged assets, that there's a lot of costs to cut. That's what he would think.
Well, then I want to buy it.
You might. At the same time, you might be afraid of the enormous amount of shares that are going to so-called flow back from people who don't want to own this any longer and have just gotten it.
But
and so we'll sell it.
Wasn't there a great American that ran a lot of Discovery?
Jeff Bukas did run any number of the assets that now will be part of the Warner Discovery company.
Smart? Yes. Does he look smart?
He made a great sale to AT&T.
He is smart.
He is smart.
And by the way, a delightful man.
Who
trashed me in front of how many people? 10? 20?
Yeah.
Maybe 20 people. When I said, I think you should break it up. He said, yeah, well, that's what people who haven't really done any work and have no rigor say. I would have been better if he had said it to me like in a closet as opposed to.
You still remember. You have such a long memory. There's that Archegos bump up. And there's Discovery and AT&T. Again, tomorrow, this starts as two separate companies.
We got to follow
speaking
that.
Speaking of M&A,
you're the only guy following it.
I will be following it closely. Don't you worry. Speaking of M&A, there is one deal this morning. It's not an insignificant one. Total enterprise value, $8.3 billion. CDK, leading automotive retail technology company. They're SaaS. They help dealers and auto manufacturers run their businesses, what they say, more efficiently.
Right.
I note it because they do have a deal.
You know who runs
it's $54.87. I do not.
Brian Krzanich. Late of Intel.
Really?
Yeah, he always tried to get me to cover it. It's kind of an interesting company. They make a lot of money.
Well, he just sold the company to
flipped it.
To Brookfield Chris Asset Management's private equity group, Brookfield Business Partners. By the way, those guys have been busy. They were also partnered with Elliott on the Nielsen deal.
That's a big deal.
A week or so ago.
You know, he wanted to do insurance as a service for autos.
Krzanich did.
Krzanich, yeah.
This is a sizable deal. By the way, a couple of interesting parts of it. It's all cash, obviously, as you'd expect, private equity. It's a tender offer. It's a tender offer. Don't typically see that.
May
not mean much of anything to most of our viewers, but it's a tender offer. That's a little rare.
Great for shareholders.
And then it also speaks to the strength of the financing markets, which is not unimportant.
Thank you.
There does seem to be plenty of bid out there for financing large leverage transactions.
This company's been sitting there. He's been doing a great job. Nobody cares because it's a bear market. And I'm telling you, this is what tells me that we're okay. CDK Global. When I see Brian, I got to congratulate him because you know why?
Why?
When Elon Musk called me.
Yes. Elon Musk called you?
No, at the dinner.
Oh, he called you up. What did he call you again?
It was a bit of a hologram.
What was the, not an illusion, we're forgetting. What was it?
We have to go to Sunrise Senior Living.
The two of you can't come up,
But Brian Krzanich came to my defense when Musk said there was a 50% chance that I really didn't exist.
Right.
And Krzanich, who's a mathematician, said, it's really only about 28%.
Okay. All right.
But don't think about it.
Simulation. Thankfully, we have our producer.
It's a simulation.
You can remember.
But CDK Global is a real company out of nowhere. Brian told me to buy it. He said it was really smart, really right. What did I do? I said,
Over the last year, it's not as though it's done very much of anything. And now they've capped the value. That's it. You're done, right? You're getting 58.40. You're getting 54.87.
What do you have to mean? Uranium ETFs up 2.7% on pace for the best day since March 21st. Are you into
Before
uranium?
Before I get to Pisani, tell me your views right now on the broader market again. It was this time yesterday you said conservative.
I'm very conservative on tech, and the rest of the market I think could have a real run.
You do.
I think the money's going to come out of big tech and go into the rest of the market. And it's about time. Remember how, people keep saying how narrow. Narrow's a bear market. Broad is a bull market.
Yeah.
That's what I think's going to happen.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I think Exxon can go up a lot. Chevron. Those stocks can go back to their historic place in the SPX.
Yeah.
What?
I think we're going to go. Yeah, we're going to Bob. By the way, let me clarify something quickly. If I indicated yesterday, Discovery and AT&T start trading, Warner Discovery start trading separately, it's Monday. They close tomorrow. Monday is when they actually start.
Okay. That. Simulation, everyone reminds
you. Yes. Elon Musk many years ago at a dinner said that you very well might be a simulation. You've never gotten over it.
Well, because I criticized him about
gotten
no,
over it.
No, because it crushed me. It crushed me. I was in a big room,
apparently Jeff
a Benioff dinner.
Jeff Bukas
everybody
insulted
was anybody.
You in some way. You've never gotten over that either.
No, I have. I've said on air that I think he's a great man.
Okay.
I went to see him get the Time Person of the Year. I think he's brilliant.
Wait, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Yes.
But there was that very moment where I was next to the person who runs 23andMe. Will.i.am was there. There were just, you know, it was everybody and I looked very silly. The CEO, the chairman of Microsoft, and
move on.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah, just move on.
I worshipped the guy, and he trashed me. You know what I felt like?
What?
I felt like when you bring down the tablet because it's seasonal. You bring down the tablets, and you know he thinks I'm worshipping Doth. You know I'm Dothan worshipping the golden calf. I was worshipping him.
Did you have 15 commandments and drop one?
You know it was Dothan?
No.
Edward G. Robinson.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah.
Where is your God now, Moses? All right, let's get to Bob Bassan.
One of the great art collection in history.
Bob, take it away.
I've known Jim for 25 years, folks. He's not a simulation. Trust me, I'm sure of that. Hey, you notice the Dow's down, the S&P is not. That's because we're having trouble with the industrials, cyclical stocks. That's a problem because we're growth problems. Banks are just acting terrible also. J.P. Morgan's not doing anything. Goldman Sachs. So take a look at the sectors here. We don't know what to do. Let's buy energy stocks. Let's buy metals. Are you tired of looking at XME on the leaderboard every day? I am, but that's what happens. So tech, flattish. Banks generally are still down. Remember going into earnings season on that. The new lows list, we keep getting assorted new names on it. Now we have Goldman on the new low list. Citigroup has been there for a while. General Motors, Ford's at the lows for the year, not a 52-week low. We told you about the home builders' 52-week lows for a while now. So the bottom line is the market's finally getting the message. The Fed's going to be really aggressive in raising interest rates. And that has a lot of implications for growth. Jim mentioned Conagra. I just want to point out what they said because it's very interesting. So the earnings were in line. We don't worry about that. What's interesting was the guidance because they talked about what the problem was with the fact that they had to raise prices and the inflation impact. So here's what's interesting. The organic sales were 6%. That's a pretty good number. But look at this. It was entirely because of the prices. They raised prices in the mix almost 9%. The volume was actually down almost 2.6%. Isn't that strange? So what happened here was it was all due to the fact that they were able to raise prices. Now, what happened with this volume story? Here's what they said. The volume decrease was primarily a result of the elasticity impact from inflation-driven pricing actions. However, the elasticity impact was favorable to expectations. Okay, let me put this in English for you. In plain English, we raise prices. Some consumers declined to pay the prices, the higher prices, but, you know, the number of people who declined to pay the higher prices, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. That's what happened. Now, that's generally good news, but there was some inelasticity. Some people pushed back. That's a little bit of a warning sign. You see, Conagra is up here. The company's planning more price increases, but it's not clear they're going to be able to get them through in the next several quarters. Now, you want to get more on this? Jim's got him. Of course, the CEO of Conagra is going to be on tonight with Jim. And we'll get a little more information, but I hope Jim asks him about the very interesting decline in volume, because that's some demand destruction going on there. So what's happening here is the market is acting like we're in a late cycle phase of the economy. What's that mean? I know I hate throwing all this jargon at you, but late stage of the economy is the stage before a recession. And what is in a late stage? You get rising wages, you get higher inflation, you get decelerating economic growth, and you get peak profits. Does that look a little bit like what we're doing now? If you don't think so, watch the stock market, because it's acting exactly like that. In a late stage cyclical stocks go down and commodity stocks and defensive stocks tend to either hold up or go up. Guess what? That's exactly what we've been seeing here. So take a look at where we've been doing with some of these, I call them the fading sectors here. Jim's been talking about the transports for a long time. But look, this is just in the last, since the end of March. Home builders, transports, retail banks, this is all the classic cyclical stuff has been declining. What's been holding up? Exactly what I just told you. Commodity stocks like energy, defensive names like consumer staples, and utilities and healthcare. So, David, who knows if we're really in a late stage, but the stock market is acting exactly like that, and that has a lot of implications for the earnings situation. Q1's going to be fine for earnings, but I think you're going to see those Q3 and Q4 numbers, which are very high right now, they're going to start coming down if the market continues to believe this kind of story. Back to you.
Interesting, Bob. Bob Asani, thank you.
Let's not forget, like, the Constellation Brands, they're now up 9. They're on the opposite.
Yeah.
They're about to make the re... I told you, I'd tell you. I got an elbow doctor. Will you just please go to him already?
All right. I want to actually...
For 5 years you won't go to him. Dr. Bob Winnick, he's the best in the country.
It was this elbow, actually. This one's... It's getting old, man. All right, Jim's got something extra for you later today, by the way. Tune into the CNBC Investing Club's monthly meeting at 12:30 Eastern. Sign up. Find out more at cnbc.com/join the club.
Yeah, put your hand up to that thing. I mean, actually, with a phone.
Yeah, or just put your phone at the QR code on the screen.
So easy.
And you'll go right there.
Who's not? And better, my trust is here. It's not at another firm, okay?
Got it. All right, let's do a quick bond report before we head to break as well. Give you another look at how treasuries are faring this morning. You can see 10-year, 2.6.
30 years where the axe is going to be. 30 years going to go to 3.5. So Bullard gets his 2.5, and that goes to 3.5, and we're all happily ever after.
There you go. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Take a look at shares of a Constellation. We talked a bit about the quarter, a strong one, and Monster. I bring the two together because this morning's press release twice says that there's no change to Constellation's capital allocation strategy, which is focused on returning cash to shareholders and investing in beer capacity. You know, if they really were in talks to acquire Monster, you might not have expected that direct of a statement. We'll be back right after this. All right, Jim, only got time to tell us what's okay. On. I see it right there.
All right, sure. Investment committee meeting at 12:30, but we are going to talk about Best Buy. That's going to be on tonight, Corey Barry. And then ConAgra, you heard the amazing description exactly of Bob Pisani. These stocks aren't going down anymore. We should be careful.
Okay.
They're in bull market mode.
All right.
Freight's coming down.
Got it.
I love the show.
You too.
You look great.
Thank you.
I got a good doctor for the open.
All right. Appreciate it. I'll see you later.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.